Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Here we are. Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how are you this wonderful morning? And don't you feel better today?
I do. The sun's out.
No, I'm talking about the government's back.
Oh, okay. They just kicked it down the road, right?
All
you know,
right.
For 3 weeks.
But you're supposed to feel better, right? Yeah,
well, I don't know.
Okay.
You know, the market could care less about it, too. It didn't really matter.
Okay.
Unfortunately, it affected a lot of people, and I feel bad for them.
Sure.
You know, but anyway, it's good that they're back open. But hopefully, in the next 3 weeks, they'll settle the issue, and we'll
Got
see
it.
What happens. So we will see. Right now, it's Saturday morning, January 26, 2019. Oh, about 10:04 in the morning, and we always say that because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM, out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight. Unless there's a sporting event, then the show will be on after the sporting event. The show is also available every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 a.m. live streaming if you go to our website, sapriston.com, that's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. And you click on the Dollar Doctor tab, and you hit live streaming, and you can pick up the show live streaming. Also, you know, right now, if you want to go to that website and hit the Dollar Doctor tab, hit live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box, and you can type in a question or a symbol of a stock you're interested in. And if you do put a stock in, let us know whether you're looking to buy it or sell it or hold it so we can analyze it based on what you're looking to do. Also, the show is available at the website, again, archived. So if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, the show is there. And then finally, last but not least, every week there's a free economic report at the website by Stone and McCarthy.
Yep. Guess what they talk about today?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, the government shutdown startup.
Really? And they talk about the effect of the shutdown on the economy? And
yeah, I wasn't too excited about
wasn't,
it.
Wasn't, no. But it's, you know, it's brief, you know, if you just want to catch up very quickly.
A lot of charts and figures,
you know,
which is nice to catch up on.
It gives you a little perspective on a lot of things, you know, interest rates and gold and the stock market, where they were last year, where they are now.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we do encourage you to go to the website, sapriston.com. Also, you can find out information about our company. We are a brokerage firm as well as a RIA. We do manage accounts. So if you go to the website, all of our contact numbers are there. If you ever want to use our services, we'd definitely welcome you. Right now, give us a call 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. And as usual, the phone lines are wide open at this time in the morning. Very easy to get in right now. We encourage you to get in early because it seems like everybody calls, you know, at the last minute at the end of the show. Also, like I said, there's a chat box at our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. And go to the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming pops up. Hit live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. You could type in a question or put in symbol and let us know whether you're looking to buy or sell. Right now, we're going to go to Bill in Hamburg. Good morning.
Hey, Pete, it's 100% correlated with the price of oil. Did you ever think it'd be the day like that?
You must have read the same thing I did.
Well, Todd McClellan, I think I told you guys about him about a month ago when I called last.
Mm-hmm.
He's been dead on, and he still likes the price of oil to move higher here. So maybe the market.
In the market, yeah, it was amazing because a couple of services came up with that, and they showed the chart of the oil, and they showed the chart of the Dow, and the fluctuations. You know, not exact, but the movement was the same. You know,
Well, it went all the time to 75, and you get killed.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, you know, if you look at the chart of oil and you look at the chart of the S&P, you would know which is which probably. if it didn't say what it was on the chart, right?
Exactly. So, man, oil, it's way oversold here still. It's acting okay.
Yeah, see, what people have said is that, you know, the price of oil moves with the expectations of growth or non-growth.
Right.
Yeah, you know, so it's understandable. You know, it's not totally wacky.
Yeah,
you know,
I
so.
Get it. The price of oil is too high, and then it's no good. But more oil prices are good. I mean, any way you look at it, just not real low. But if you can go to range, maybe 48 to 65, and stay here for a while, maybe you'll be okay.
That could be. Yeah, no question about it. Yeah.
Yeah, the broad market, actually, if you look, it's acting okay here. It's acting much better now than it did maybe in, like, June, July, when the market was making those highs. The broad market stopped here. I think it's, the average stock is acting pretty good, so... Maybe you got all the technicians. Wow, they're all in the same boat here. Wow, can one of them come up with something new and different? Wow, it's going to be hard getting through 2650, 27, 120. They're all looking at the same thing and they're all spouting out the same thing. So maybe as a contrarian, you can think maybe we'll get through those levels here. So. I think the market's acting okay. I think the motion go down maybe 25, 20, 30. I don't think 23.50 is back in play here. So, hey, I think you might have a couple of good months here. Then maybe a pretty good setback. What do you think is going to happen to Pete?
Well, there's a few analysts that have pointed out that with the number of indicators that measure thrust of the advanced declines, how quickly, that this is not a typical bear market indication, you know, that it's usually the start of a new bull run again, you know.
Yeah.
So there are a few technicians pointing that out because of the significance of, you know.
Marty Zweig was bullish here. That was his indicator.
Mm-hmm.
Back 9-1 up days. Yeah, I don't think he'd call this a bear market. I don't think Tom McClellan's calling this a bear market. So,
no, and there's one indicator that, you know, a guy, he kind of tweaked a normal indicator that everybody uses and tweaked it with different parameters, you know. And I kind of keep it on the bottom of my charts, and it just turned to major bullish again, you know. So we shall see.
I think the tone of the market has changed.
Oh, it has, especially. Really, you know what the leading group is so far this year in the S&P?
Let me guess here. I'm stumped. I have no idea.
Semiconductors again.
Yeah.
And they were dead, right?
And they were dead. NXP is a steal down here. Mm-hmm. That thing was 160, 70. You want to buy one for safety? AMD looks good on the chart. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Yep.
Hey, did Warren ever buy that stock ASM? MGP, did he ever delve into that?
Unfortunately, I should know, but I don't.
You know, okay, well, I call
it. I can't answer that.
It's up about $3 on it. It's a, you know, it's a pretty much a dividend play, but that the gambling stocks here, if they could break out of their range here.
Well, you know what might do it? Barron's had an article on that. Some analyst is very bullish on the gambling stocks.
Yeah, because they're totally sold. They're like, well, you had all this bad news. You had my hero, Steve Wynn, leaving the company. I think it was under 100 maybe a week or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
Las Vegas. These things generate huge amounts of cash. They're always discounting Armageddon. If you want to look at the bear market low in 09, you won't believe. For your Las Vegas Sands was $1. Did you know that, Pete?
No, really?
$1.
Holy cow.
I think Wynn was down to 40. Yep. So
it's interesting because I always tell people about how Templeton made a ton of his money in the Depression, you know. And yep. he went out and borrowed money to buy every stock that was at a dollar.
and what
happens is, you know, yeah, some of them will go bankrupt, they're out of business,
sure.
but some of them will go from 1 to 100. You know, so the upside's better than the downside. So every time we've gone through this, I've never done it. I kick myself every time.
Dollar and change.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, Sands, Adelson.
I mean, Corning Glass was a dollar something.
Oh, yeah, easily a dollar.
A lot of them, just amazing. You know.
Yep, they were discounted the end of the world.
Oh, yeah.
March of 09.
Just amazing.
Hey, Pete, what was the cover of Barron's this week?
I'm trying to remember. I just looked at it very briefly.
It?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I just got curious, so. All right, very good, guys.
It wasn't a big bull or a big bear, so it didn't matter.
Yeah,
you know?
they sort of are off that kind
right.
of covers there. You're not going to get this week's cover, the death of
mm-hmm.
equities, too many times in your lifetime where they'll turn on a dime. Then,
well, it's interesting that, you know, that article on the gambling stocks, it didn't like Las Vegas Sands, and they didn't like people with exposure to Macau because they don't trust what's going on there, you know.
That's been going on for years, though. Everybody knows, you know, everybody knows that with Macau. One mm-hmm. of these days, maybe it'll flip. I don't know. Chinese stocks, they bought them before the U.S. market did about 3 weeks ago here.
Yeah.
You know, it's just the thing is, and if you watch CNBC, it's everybody's telling you the same thing. Contrarians can do good in this market, but it takes, some stones to step up on some of these things.
Well, if this is really a new bull move, you know, the best buys are in the first pullback, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. That scares everybody. And that pullback is going to come maybe in a few weeks. You
mm-hmm.
know, everybody gets scared. And then we'll see. I don't think 2,500 is coming out, but you never know. I think the breath on updates now is much better than it used to be. Much better. It used to be so narrow. Now you get 2-to-1 updates on most good days of the market.
That's a good point. You know, for some time the advanced declines were very strange. You know,
yep.
And now all of a sudden they're confirming with everything moving together. So you're right.
Exactly. Have a good week. I'll
you too. Well, thanks for the call.
Yep.
Have a good weekend there. Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541, or go to our website, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Hit live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box. You can type in a question or a symbol of a stock. And if you do type in a symbol of a stock, let us know whether you're looking to buy, sell, or just want to say, you know, I want to hang on to this. What do you think? And
we call that a hold.
Is that what you call it, a hole?
Yeah, technically, yes.
Yeah, well, technically, you know, the analysts years ago, whenever they said hole, that really meant the cell.
Right. Well, there's an underground language.
Exactly. So anyway, right now, give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Go next to Art in New Jersey. Good morning.
Good morning, both to you guys.
Good morning.
Thank you.
The Barron's thing is sizing up the market's new risk on the cover today.
Is that what it was? Yeah.
Yeah, and they had a large article in there about the climate change and discussed a number of different utilities and companies that had cruise ships, et cetera, what their risks are. So
Interesting.
And it did mention having it my PCG, which at the end of the week it was 1177 up 454. And the reason I think most of it was the gain because some regulatory agency in California made a statement that they were not responsible for the 2017 fire at
mm-hmm.
all. So they I don't know about the bankruptcy now. So that's sort of in question. But
that's still in question. No question about it.
I was watching it on my computer, the price on Thursday, I see $13.95 up $5.96. I said, what the heck is going on with this thing?
Mm-hmm.
So that was the reason. One of the questions I had, I put a note on the chat box, too. I do track the VIX and the WTI oil prices as during the day, and mm-hmm. I just watch it. On the VIX, are those two things, would those be the actual symbols if you wanted to put them on? And to get them as a list when you look at the stock prices?
Well, the oil, you'd have to go and see what symbol they use at your particular, website that you're looking at.
Right. Yeah, I'm just looking at the market where, what is it, Yahoo Finance.
Mm-hmm.
And you can list, I have 35 stocks listed, not all of which I own, and they give the price throughout the day as it's changing. And I was wondering.
Well, in terms of, because oil and WTI, that's futures contracts, all right?
Right. For the.
You'd have to get the future symbol for it,
Okay.
For example, I know gold is GC,
Mm-hmm.
And but then they'll have for the different months, it might be H16 or something, So.
Right.
So I say you have to look up the symbol, and there's also a cash symbol too. So I just type in gold at some website, see what it comes mm-hmm. up with.
Yeah, I use Finviz Art, and I just look at during the day if I'm not sure, what a symbol is for one of the commodities. They list the price of oil. I think they list.
Okay. What is that? FIN.
Yeah, FIN, Nancy, VIZ.com down at the bottom.
Yeah, right at the very bottom, they've got oil.
Crude, natural gas, gold.
FINVIT or Z?
FINVIZ.
As in zebra.
.com.
Okay, that sounds great. Incidentally, one thing about John Templeton, I don't know if you knew it, when he collected all the money that he sold to the funds, the Templeton funds,
mm-hmm.
to. I forget the name of the company. Franklin.
Franklin.
He got billions of dollars, and he renounced his U.S. citizenship in order not to pay the taxes on it.
Did he really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, he got all the money tax-free, federally tax-free.
Holy cow.
But I forget what island he became a citizen of, but that wasn't really very nice,
No, to say the least. Interesting.
Well, how much snow did you guys get? Did a lot during the last week or so?
Dusting.
No, not a lot, but you know what happens,
different
though?
Areas.
Different areas, I remember years ago my parents used to call me, oh, my God, I heard you guys got buried. I said, no, that's south of the city,
Yeah, the Erie Lake effect, sort of.
But the area, like a Springville, for example, which is mm-hmm. south of the city, that usually gets clobbered,
Right.
But, we got some.
Over the last 3-4 days.
Yeah, last 4 days,
And then Sunday there was
time.
A foot.
No, so. Not at all one time, no.
Good. Well, I'm going to continue to listen and enjoy the show.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank you for calling. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a good week now.
You too. Sir. Take care. Okay. Right now, phone lines are again wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541.
Or some folks on the chat.
Or the chat box. Okay, I'll mention how you get there. Saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Hit the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming, go to the bottom of the page. There's a chat box down there. You type in a question or a symbol. If you put a symbol in, let us know whether you're looking to buy, hold, sell, whatever.
Okay. Well, Bill, he has identified himself, wants to know about a certain company that I'd be willing to go there and do some research. It's called HA Hawaiian Holdings, closed at $30.95.
HA Hawaiian Holdings.
Yes. It'd be nice to go there.
What is that anyway? It's an airline. And, boy, what's he looking to do with that? He owns it, or is he
looking to buy?
Looking to buy. Boy.
Question mark.
Well, that's a bottom Fisher's pick. This was a hot airline stock back in, say, as far as the beginning of 2017. And it hit, in the 60, around $60 a share. And now got as low as 40? Okay, I'm trying to read it.
It closed at
25. Yeah, got as low as 25. Rebounded back up, hit resistance, now turning back down again. The airline sector is under pressure, but, at sometime it might come back. So if you're a bottom fisher, you got to worry that it could go back and test that 25 area. Where to close?
30.95.
Yeah, so it's 30.95, and it did rally up to about 34. There's a lot of heavy resistance in the 35, 36 area, so... At a minimum, that means that those people that, were all hanging on to it for months and months and months, now had a chance to get back out if they bought it in that area.
A lot of the rating companies that watch them have outperformed and, they like it. But I don't understand why you think this is a bottom. I see a bottom fisher when the stock's 24, but not when it's 31.
Well, what I'm saying is a stock one half of what it used to be.
It's a pass, Pete. Come on.
You're playing the bottom.
It's so 2018.
You're playing the bottom. You're playing the bottom.
It
rallied to 34, and it's back to what? 30, you said?
31.
31, so.
Yeah. Nice.
So if you're going to buy it, you're willing to accept that it might go back down to the 25 area. And, you're going to have a lot of heavy resistance at 35, 36. So you're kind of in the middle of that range. So if you've done your research and, you think it's a very strong situation and you're interested in it, you could either make your play or you could buy half a position and sit back and see what happens,
Okay. Ready for another?
It would give a potential buy signal if it could rally up to 35, but you do have that resistance there. But
and then it would no longer be a bottom fish?
No, it's you're still playing. Right. Bottom fish doesn't mean you're playing the exact bottom.
Right. I
would have said calling, if a stock is plunging and plunging and plunging, that's catching a falling knife, So
you technicians have all these terms.
So there you go.
You people.
But hang on, one other thing, right?
All right. I'm holding on every
word. 200-day moving average is at 36, all right? So you get back above 36, and 36 starts holding.
Va-voom, sky's the limit.
No, there's no sky's the limit.
All right,
next potential target would be around 44. And if you hit 45, you could be sky's the limit.
Here's another bottom fisher for you. A, B, C, B as in boy. Ameris Bancorp. Now, you would call this a bottom fisher. I wouldn't, but you would. Close at 36.51.
Well, everybody's looking for a bargain, So, and certainly.
It's the American way.
What's that?
It's the American way.
American way, right? Yeah. What I get a kick out of is, a lot of people, they think they've discovered something, this is a bargain and nobody realizes it, right? But you never know.
Those days are over.
What is this company anyway?
It's a bank.
A bank, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mid-Atlantic.
Well, the interesting thing about this is that financials have become very strong, which, by the way, is very good for the market.
Friday, they became really strong.
Well, for the year, they've been very strong, right? Whatever you want to say, financials are right up there, like about the third strongest S&P sector, up 9%.
They were rocking Friday.
Yeah, well, what's your definition of rocking?
All green. All the banks that I watch and
so if they're up a penny and they're green, that's
all
good.
It's all relative.
It's all relative.
They were rocking.
But anyway, after all of that, this thing hit a bottom at 30. What did it close at?
36.51.
200 days all the way up at 47.
Oof. So, a lot of room.
But, you know, the 50 days at 36.89. So you get above the 50 day, that'd be a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that the group is strong, so you have that going for you. So it might be an interesting play, you know, mm-hmm. right here. So, you know, resistance would be up right now around 41 on mm-hmm. it. So you got room to run to the first resistance area. And, you know, obviously, you know, almost every stock has overhead resistance now. So you can't say, I'm not going to buy that because it has overhead resistance.
Or you could say that.
Yeah, but if it's a real bull move in the stock, the resistance won't matter, you know.
And, okay.
But it did drop quite a bit below that. So if you buy a little or if you've done your research and you feel you could buy a full position, you know, watch 41. You know, that's an important area. And don't be surprised if it tried to pull back at that. And if it just blew right through, that would be very positive. And even if it's still in a long-term downtrend, you know, you could get up and test the 47 area. So
you are Mr. Positive.
Well, that's a possibility. Okay,
must have been Bob Seger last week.
But you know, but once again, the risk you know is back to 30 if the market turns around, right? So,
okay.
So
one more
realize
Bill.
The risk and the potential reward. You know,
okay. One more. Bill is looking at a technology company, application software company called Elastic. E S is in Sam, T is in Tom, C is in Charlie. New company. Must have been a spinoff from someone, I'm assuming. 78.72 on the close. This is not a bottom fisher.
What was the symbol again?
ESTC.
That's what I thought you said. ESTC. Probably not going to be a bunch of price history on it.
No. If it's it looks like.
Oh, no, no. There's a lot of price. That looks great.
Came out
well,
in October.
There's a big article in Barron's, and it is, you know, one of the hottest area last year, one of the hottest areas was software. Okay. And there's an article in Barron's today, if you're interested in the weekend's, this weekend's Barron's, you know, I'd read it because they're telling why software is a very strong area and can continue will continue to be, mm-hmm. you know, because more and more companies are dependent on software applications to become more efficient.
Yeah, this was an IPO last year.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Just doing some work on it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it, to me, you know, it broke out. It made a new buy signal at 76, 77, that area. And for what it's worth, based on the point and figure method, which you take with a grain of salt, but based on their method for, you know, coming up with price targets, 104 is the price target on it.
Wow.
So this one could be bought. I'd get concerned if it dropped to 71, or at least reevaluated if it dropped to 71, because there should be good support. You know, around that 71 area, you know, so or 72 somewhere in there. So if it dropped to 71, I'd reevaluate it. But this looks like a worthwhile stock, which has been moving up nicely. You know, so yep,
very nice.
So that's it for the chat box.
Well, there's still some more.
Okay, let me give you the phone numbers
go
again.
Ahead,
anyway,
803-1520. Such a professional.
Or toll free 800-879-7541. We would like to talk to you, but if you would like to use the chat box, that's fine. And as I mentioned, go to sapperston.com, click on the Dollar Doctor tab, live streaming comes up, hit live streaming, and you can type in a symbol, ask a question. And if you type in a symbol, let us know if you're looking to buy, sell, or hold it. And we can go from there. Once again, phone number is 803-1520, toll free 800-879-7541. And we're going to take a quick 1 minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Sapperston and Peter Greco of Sapperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at sapperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Sapperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. Right now, phone lines are wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541, or go to the website, our website, saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. Live streaming comes up. Click on live streaming. Go to the bottom of the page.
Okay, so... Gentleman, guest 201 wants to know about buying BTI, which closed at 3141. He said he owned RAI for 24 years, took BTI buyout in 2017 for $67, did very well, on sale now for $32 with a lot of question marks.
I would say so, because now this is catching a falling knife.
There you go. I concur.
So... I would have to go look at a long-term chart and see where potential support may be, because on the point-and-figure chart for where it goes back as far as 2013, there's no support area, so it's taken all of that out. It's taken out years of support. And, you know, so let me go to another website real quick.
While you're looking, I just, you know, it's not a technical reason, right. But I just don't know why you would buy something that kills people. That's just, and I'm not making moral judgments or judging anybody. I just think it's...
You're not, huh?
No, I just think, well, I wouldn't buy it. Why would you want to buy things that people use that kill them? I mean, just, you know, go buy, find something else. But that's just me.
Well, let me just take a look at something real quick. Hang on here. I'm trying to pull up.
Quick means that.
Quick means, well, not quite.
Obviously,
quick.
You don't mean quick.
I don't mean. Well, there we go. That's there's the chart. Well, I would say it closed at what price now?
31.41.
31.41.
Fell off a cliff.
Yeah,
forget the knife.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it did. And I would say,
find that bottom. That's
next
the
support is 28, and support below that is looks like around the 21.
Yeah, buy Amazon. That's my advice.
Well, there you go. But anyway. So, you know,
that's my answer for everything.
You do have, you know, if, you know, who knows? I mean, it could turn around tomorrow, right?
Okay.
And head the other way. You never know. But be aware that next support, if it keeps dropping, is 28. And then the support below that could be around the 21, 22 area. So you'd have to decide what kind of strategy you want to play if you have a strong reason, you know, why you want to play
stomach,
this stock.
Yes,
right.
Very
exactly.
Good, yeah.
Yep. Okay. We're going to go next to Don. Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
A couple of quick questions. I heard last week that you guys were talking about Fannie and Freddie Mae.
Mm-hmm.
And they've had a nice move this week.
Mm-hmm.
Picked up a little bit. But back in the 2008, 2009, I bought a lot of preferred shares in General Motors, in Ford, in Boeing, in AIG, and I did tremendously with them. They all got bought out at 25. You know, I paid like $2 for it, and it was paying, and it paid its dividend. And now I've looked at this, and I picked up a little bit of the common, but I'm more interested in the preferred. And I looked at a few, they're up around $10. A majority of them, and they have a lot of them. So my question is to you guys, what if they do come out of receivership or whatever they call it right now, which they should, because
conservatorship.
They've paid back a fortune.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've been, the government's rolling in dough now.
But. Right. Now, would the government want to give that up?
Exactly.
That's the whole thing. I mean, they have almost doubled what they've they initially paid them or lent them.
Yeah, see, and if they did come out, it would all depend on what the terms are going to be, you know, when they come out, which I couldn't even begin to guess.
Right. I mean, they own 80% of the company in warrants.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, what they do with that, sell it, whatever, they have the object of doing that, you know. I don't remember what the government got out of AIG when they mm-hmm. originally did that, but they must have had some type of same type of deal. But
well, this is, you know, a little bit different than those. I think trying to think of the one like when they did Chrysler many years ago.
Okay.
You know, they bailed them out. You know, they
right.
bailed out Chrysler. They got Chrysler stock and they made money, you know, on the deal.
Right.
So
right.
This conservatorship thing is all legal mumbo jumbo, you know, and
right.
Who knows what they're going to do. So you know, you're taking a speculation shot. The guy who called on Fannie Mae last week, he's owned it for a long time. I said I'd hold it because it's a lottery ticket, right?
Right, right, right. But I, like I say, the preferred interests me more than the common does
mm-hmm.
because if they do reinstate it as a, you know, a company, they suspended all the dividends that they were paying. Now, I don't think they'll be obligated to pay back those dividends. Mm-hmm. Most preferred shares, if they suspend a dividend, they have to pay it out within 5 years or do something with it. I don't exactly remember. But
well, there are preferreds they call cumulative, you know, preferreds,
right?
Which has to be paid, you know.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So if my question to you guys is, you're sitting in front, would you buy the common or would you buy a preferred? Since, you know.
Well, if you're really aggressive, you buy the common. You know.
Okay.
If you're more moderate, you'd buy the preferred.
Right, right. But I remember, I mean, like the Ford that I bought, I mean, I ended up getting, you know, $25 a share
mm-hmm.
for it. I mean, the Ford never got out of the low teens, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So
yeah, exactly, yeah.
I remember debating guys at work saying, I'm buying Ford. I said, well, buy the preferred because they continuously paid the dividend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
it was
40%.
It was a smart move. No question about it. Yeah,
it was crazy. So,
it all depends on, you know, how what the time frame is. You know, because say they did some kind of deal, and next thing you know, it ends up. People are trying to figure out what's the fair value of Fannie Mae. You know,
right?
Well,
right.
You know, and I know Willard was on last week, and he says, well, you know, the assets are three billion. He said,
yeah, I don't know.
Whatever, three something, 3 billion, I guess, and the liabilities are 3 billion. You know,
okay.
So whatever. But I've seen people say that it's worth maybe $20 a share. You know, so if that were the case, and the next day the stock went from 2 to 20. You might be better off, you know, than with the preferred, but the preferred might do the same thing, right?
Right, right.
Yeah. So
if they reinstate the dividend, I mean, were paying 8%.
Yeah.
Back then, and that was at $25 a share.
Yeah. So I think, you know, the preferred, you're talking about a time frame more or less, you know, because the preferred
right.
would go from 10 to. Even if it went to 25, it went up 2.5. And to say
right.
Fannie Mae was worth 20, and I don't really know what it's worth.
Right, right.
But to say that's right, you know, and it became 20, that's 10 times your money, right?
Right. That's true, but they still have 80% in warrants.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so they still have 80% control, so 80% of the 20
mm-hmm.
would still belong to the government.
Yeah, yeah. So it depends on how the whole deal came out. And
yeah, it's very curious because they're like the last one that I know that's still not been resolved. And I remember when GM went bankrupt and the common went to nothing, and I had bought the preferred. Now when they hashed this all out, they did not give us 25.
Mm-hmm.
It was around 12 or 14, which was great because I paid like $2 for it,
right? Yeah,
like that. But they never reinstated the dividend
mm-hmm.
on that. So
yeah.
I think that's about what's going to happen with this.
Well,
this
it's a possibility,
thing.
And you know, like I say, you know, being more conservative, you know, you play
right.
the preferred, yeah.
Right, because GM is the closest. Well, see, Fannie and Freddie never went bankrupt.
No.
You know, so the common is still worth money.
Right.
Where the GM was, they went bankrupt, they went and bankrupt. Everybody who bought the common, and because it's kind of like a funny story, I bought 10,000 shares of GM like Monday, and then I'm looking, and I said, this is stupid. And I, like the next morning, I sold it, and I bought the preferred, and I made out. And like I said, the preferred were definitely the way to go with all of them, Ford, AIG, mm-hmm. you name
yes.
them all.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you really made out. I made out the best.
It sounds like, you know, you have to stick with what works.
yeah. So I'm thinking of going back to the mm-hmm. preferred on this, but just small.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
Just,
oh, definitely.
Just,
yeah.
Just to see. And the other one I wanted to ask you guys about is Canopy.
Boy.
Yeah. That one I owned at, I bought it at 41.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, it just jumped like $5. You know, CGC,
right. Yeah.
And for just an upgrade from Piper. Now, I mean, an upgrade to jump that stock $5 is kind of insane.
It's amazing, but you know, it happens. That's for sure. You know, it's depends on the depends on the price target they put on it.
Yeah, 60.
Yeah, so that's why if they put a real big change in the price target, that can really make the stock jump. You know, and a matter of fact, it's logical. You know, whatever's logical these days, but at any rate, 60 would be a reasonable target for it, you know.
Right.
And if I really wanted to, you know, pie in the sky, I look at the price objective for point and figure, and that's 81, you know, so.
Right.
And if you're going to buy a cannabis stock, this is considered the blue chip, you know.
Right. So. Right. Well, that's what Cramer keeps saying.
Yep.
You know, he's the one recommending that over all of them mm-hmm. because they have the $4 billion from Constellation.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, which I also own, and I bought that after they reported their earnings, and their earnings, I mean, they went down like $10 or mm-hmm. whatever it was, and I said, no, that's not. I mean, they only missed by pennies, you know, and that was on the projections.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I made out great with that so far, and we're doing good so far.
Well, hey,
with them for you know, and but the Canopy one, I'm a big believer, and they're going to legalize this stuff, and you know, they came out with a plan to buy put $150 million into hemp in New York State.
Mm-hmm.
Cuomo's already said that he wants to legalize recreational marijuana in New York State. So I think they're trying to get their foot in the door in New York, build mm-hmm. this plant, and go from there. I really like the stock.
Yeah, and basically, I mean that the area, say from 42 to about 45, should be support for it. You know.
Right. Yeah. I mean, with all that money in the bank that they have, you know, they're able to do a lot of things. They're working a lot of patents. I listened to the CEO on TV.
Yeah, it's like I say, you know, they are considered the, you know, the blue chip of the cannabis stocks. You know?
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen, for your
time. Well, thank you. Appreciate the call.
Right.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Okay, take care. Right now, phone lines, surprisingly, usually this time in the show, there's a lot of calls, but they must have been so fascinated by the conversation that they didn't give us a call, you know. But at any rate, 803-1520. Toll free 800-879-7541.
Does your arm get sore from patting you on the back?
There you go.
We have a couple. Tom wants to know about buying KEYS. Close at 7107. And one more also.
Okay, hang on. KEYS. KEYS.
Keysight Technology.
Oh, technology company. Well, technology's in. Again, you know, it was out temporarily. Now all of a sudden it's back in.
A reverse, bottom fisher.
A reverse bottom fisher? What does that mean? Looking at the chart upside down or what?
You are so good.
Oh, that's beautiful. I mean, it, you know, it broke out of its previous high, which was back in, looks like June of this year. You know, just made a new high and might be an all-time high. I don't have a chart that far back. You know, the neck, the price target on the point and figure chart's 82. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the stock closed at what, 71?
71.07.
It's above the 200-day, which was at 60. You know, possible area to reevaluate would now be 66. And, you know, it looks like it has good support. Would have good support at the 200-day, 60. So you'd have good support, 60 to 63. Okay. And so that looks good. I like that one.
He also wants to know about selling NVIDIA, NVDA. Closed at 160.15.
Let's see. Where is that? I haven't even been watching that lately.
Just buy it and put it away, Pete.
Yeah, I would not be selling it, that's for sure. I mean, I don't see, you know, the next potential resistance area is up in the 170s. And even if it's in a long-term downtrend, the long-term downtrend line is 182. So right now, I'd only get concerned, and you might sell it if it went back to 146, if you're willing to take that risk. And the 200 days way above it at 224, so it'd be nice if it even tested the. I would not sell it right now. You know, but I could be wrong. So as long as, you know, if your research says I want to get the heck out of this thing, then fine. You know, it's, you know. Once again, you have to go along with how you've looked at it. But based on the chart, you know, it looks like it wants to head toward the 174 area. And of course, that depends on what the stock market's going to do. You know, if the stock market went into a tailspin again, it's going to hit everything. But things are looking a little bit better, so you know, I would not be a seller. And if you could take the risk down to, you know, 146 as a potential stop point or a reevaluation, then that's what I would do.
Okay. Got more, or do you want to go to the phone call? What do you want to do?
Well, let's take one more in the chat box.
Okay. Wadi wants to know about buying IEP, which is Carl Icahn Enterprises, closed at 67.27.
Boy, that used to be a wild, volatile stock and still is. Makes big moves up and down, I'll tell you.
Up is better.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it's had a big rally. You know, unfortunately, it's now rallied from the 51 area up to almost 70, which is at the downtrend line, and now it reacted back down. So I would say right now, see, in the 200-day moving average is 69, so I would probably only buy it if it made it above the 200-day and stayed there, used it as support. So somewhere at least 70, and then you would have a shot at that next resistance, which would be around 74. Resistance after that's 81, and the point and figure chart gives a target at 106. So be aware, it's a very volatile stock in here, and I'd prefer to buy it, you know, maybe if it broke out at 70 and with some volume and some enthusiasm. Yep. Okay, we're going to go next to Richard in Rochester. Good morning.
Peter and David, my two favorite people.
Oh, today?
Always. Oh, okay. Always. Even during
I should be more favorite because I was willing to go to you. He wanted to go to the chat box first.
I know, so. I was listening.
All
I
right.
heard.
Nothing personal. Peter has a system.
Don't take it personal. It's business.
He does. Morning, guys.
I've been having some luck lately because the market's been cooperating. Mm-hmm. We're doing some cash secure puts, selling puts, not for a long time, two weeks,
right.
Intel, INTC, and AMD. Mm-hmm. Any opinion on the sector?
Well, the sector is very strong right now, semiconductors, okay? Intel, unfortunately, came out with bad earnings, you know, and a weak outlook.
Yeah.
So,
but I right at
well, see, what is your put?
I closed out the put before earnings. I had a 47.
Right,
that was
very
expiring.
Good.
That was a coming due Friday yesterday.
Yep.
It closed at 47.04. So that's too close for me. So I got out of it the day before with with about a 70% gain. I
right.
said, that's
yeah.
enough.
Hey.
That's close enough.
Yeah, I'd accept that. Yeah.
Yeah, because every time I don't do that, I get beat up.
You're getting smart, Richard.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had more money to get smart with.
And especially having a short-term option with earnings coming out, that's a good move, you know. So.
Well, I did a spreadsheet, and I look at the stock, and I look at any dividend if there is, but I also focus on earnings announcement date.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
That's a critical date.
They are critical depending on, you know, for the longer-term investor, I mean, it probably doesn't matter that much, you know, but for shorter term, it very much matters. Yeah, it sure does.
Yep. So, all right, I just wanted to share. I've been having luck with that. I'm glad I got back into Square. SQ seems to be
doing very nicely. You know, be diligent.
Yeah, I know. Well, I didn't get in as heavy as I did before when I got killed. So
right. Yeah.
I'm trying to diversify.
I mean, it's running very strongly. It's back above, I think it's a back. Yeah,
close 77.97.
Yes, 77.97. The 200-day is 68. I wouldn't want to see it be below that, you know, go back below 68. And next resistance, if it keeps running, will be up around 83. You know.
Okay. Well, I want to add to it, but, you know, once you get a good gain, it's tough to buy on the way up. But
well, it is.
Bernard Baruch do that? Did he buy on the way up instead of on the way down?
Well, there's some people that buy on the way up. There's some people say never buy on the way down. There's some people say buy on the pullback. I mean, you know, you have to have a strategy. What works for you? You know, and
usually
if you keep
buying on the way up is better because I don't know where the bottom is the other way. You know?
Well, the catch is, though, you know, you don't want to buy, you know, you want to probably on the way up, you buy a smaller position, okay? Because if it turns against you, you know, you could wipe out your gains very quickly, all right?
You're right.
So buy less than you bought in dollars the first time, you know?
Absolutely, I agree with you.
Yep,
very good. The other thing, AT&T is paying their dividend February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a decent one. And
yeah, AT&T for the long-term investor, we said, you know, the 27, 28 area, you know, it has been solid support for it. So, I got for an investor, it's good.
From the last call, if you hold this a long time, I'm sure you're going to see it better than it is today. David, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, absolutely. I agree with you. General Electric's got me confused. GE.
GE's got you confused, though.
Everything I hear is, it's like, you remember Seinfeld was a show that with no meaning?
Mm-hmm.
Now they're saying GE is kind of like Seinfeld. A story about nothing.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's a speculation, you know, that is the guy going to be able to save the company? He's selling things off, you know, and hopefully he's not he's having to sell some of the better things too, you know, so you don't know what's finally going to be
what he's going to be left with
the company, what's right. he's going to be left with, you know, but you know, it's a speculation, you know. The risk is back down to 7 now, and it closed at what,
9.16,
you know, so no, it's a speculation. Who knows if he turns it around, it'd be a big deal, you know.
Right. Okay, well, I don't want to take all the calls.
Well, that's all right, you know, because we're almost to the end of the show anyway, so okay.
Want a couple more?
Well, we have somebody on the chat, so we'll take
good.
Them. And
answer the chat. Thank you for taking the call.
All right, thank you.
Richard, have a good weekend.
You too. Okay, what's on the chat there?
Zach, looking to buy PANW, wants your opinion. Close at 209.72.
Yeah, it's in the cybersecurity area. Software, which is very strong. It's come back, you know. Everybody always finds them after they've rallied off a big low, you know, which is 168. Now it's up at
209.72.
But it's back above the 200-day, which is at 201. So you want to see it stay, you know, above that 200 area. And, you know, that would be very positive. If you're going to buy it, should have strong support around 190 to 192, mm-hmm. which would be obviously slightly below the 200. Yeah, it's already met a price objective on the point and figure chart, but it looks like it'll head to test 236. If it takes 236 out, you could go significantly higher at that point. So if you're willing to take the risk, you know, down to the 190, 192 for support. Could be an interesting play here, to say the least. Yep.
Got it.
So, you know, and as I said, software, cybersecurity is tending to be a stronger area. And you know, this one dropped from 236 down to almost 160, you know, and now built a nice, beautiful base. So
we call that a courtesy dip.
And I think it's considered the blue chip of cybersecurity.
Yeah, Palo Alto.
Yeah, Palo Alto.
It's got a great name, too.
Yeah, exactly. So so that's about it. We appreciate, you know, the calls.
How about Wilbur Ross?
And Wilbur Ross, yeah, what, he said something that was stupid.
Yeah, very stupid. Let him eat cake.
Go out and borrow.
Right? Yeah. But he also, in the economic research, the report, mm-hmm. they called him Wilbur Moss.
Wilbur Moss.
I thought that was funny.
Unbelievable. Slapped him. Yeah, as we always say, you know, don't just jump in when you hear somebody say something looks good or, you know, any show, our show, TV. Make sure you do your own research. You look into it. Make sure it's suitable for you. Make sure it fits your investment style, whatever that may be. And, you know, as we said earlier in the show, the market does look better. You know, everybody's waiting for the last shoe to drop, and maybe the last shoe will not drop. And as a great speculator said, the market is designed to fool everyone, you know. So, and that's what normally happens. So, you know, so
keep
anyway.
Keep some powder dry.
Keep some powder dry. You know, we'll see what happens.
Don't be afraid to take profits.
Next week, you know, taking a little money off the table at times, you know, makes you feel good, and it's always good to do that. And, you know, you should always have an account that's conservative and then one that's more speculative if you like to do more aggressive stuff. But you should have a basically core conservative account, too. So anyway, till next week, take care.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.